Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Very happy day for us in the organization. This is an extension, literally and figuratively, of what we sought out to do a few years back when we originally sat down with Jerry little over 2.5 years ago to outline the process we were about to undertake in terms of this rebuild. There was a portion of it that dealt with the economics, and part of that was continuing to be aggressive with our young players that we projected to be part of a championship core, and trying to get them locked up for the long term.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Leila Rahimi is in for Mully today, and we are pleased to bring in Chuck Garfine, our colleague at NBC Sports Chicago, anchor reporter. Chuck joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram hotline, home of $7,000 off on Jeeps.
Hi, Chuck. First-time caller, long-time listener. This is Leila. Are you coming back to the office anytime soon? I haven't seen you since, like, last year.
Well, I arrived back last night. I will be back in the office tomorrow, so you'll see me tomorrow in the office.
I don't believe you.
Have you been out there 6 weeks, Chuck?
I think it was 6 weeks. I believe it was. And that included 6 days of driving there and back.
You drove out to Arizona?
Yes, road trip city. We wanted to bring our dogs. So I know I've been going to the airport lately. I'm seeing more and more dogs on airplanes, which is a little
What kind of dog?
Oh, he's a shepherd slash
what kind of dog is little Ozzy?
Saddle dog.
Okay.
He's like a 50-pound dog. I'm not putting him on Southwest Airlines.
Okay. And what's the name of the dog?
His name is Shuggy.
Shuggy. All right. Shuggy. Well,
yeah,
that's
we named him after Shuggy Otis.
Well, welcome back to Chicago, Chuck.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it's been a long spring training, but you know what? If the Sox went into spring training with a feeling of anticipation over Manny Machado, or then the disappointment of not getting him, they ended on a high note. And they ended on a high note Saturday when they introduced Eloy Jimenez at his press conference announcing his contract extension, 6 years, $43 million. You interviewed Rick Hahn after that. What do you think the biggest takeaway was from your perspective of that extension and talking to Rick?
For Jimenez, well, it was interesting that these were discussions that started all the way back during the GM meetings. I mean, they almost had a deal done with Jimenez then. They discussed it a little bit more during the winter meetings, and then things finally came to fruition at the end of camp. And if you notice, Jimenez was not exactly hitting the ball very well, and Hahn said that he definitely believes he was distracted by the contract negotiations, and he used an example of what happened with Jose Quintana when they had finalized the deal with Quintana for an extension an hour before Quintana was to make a start. He goes out there and, as Rick put it, he gave up 8 runs in the first inning. They did not make a single out. And his point was these guys are not robots. They're human beings. And when you're talking about the possibility and then the reality maybe of making all that money, it really can play with your mind. In baseball, you need to have your mind with you at all times, and I think that was definitely weighing on Eloy's mind. And as you saw after he signed the contract and he had like a day or two to kind of let it settle in, he went, I think it was 4-for-6 with a home run the next two games when he returned to big league camp. So I think that's a great step forward. You mentioned the Machado thing. It's great to talk about something positive from a macro standpoint with this team. The Machado thing really was like kind of hanging over the fan base for a long time. So it's great that we've now, even though Sox fans, and rightfully so, are probably still very upset about how that thing unfolded, Jimenez is here. He's here for the long term, and I expect him to be in the lineup on opening day.
Yeah, Chuck, that's where I want to pick up with this, because how many times were we asking the question last season, when does Eloy Jimenez get called up? So now he will be hopefully likely on this opening day roster. And I think that matters. How much do you think that matters for what the Sox are trying to put together and having more protection in the lineup and trying to figure out who's really going to hit on this team and where?
Well, having Jimenez in the lineup is a major, major plus for this team. And I would expect, even though if you're filling out a lineup card for yourself, you might think, oh, maybe Jimenez will bat fourth or fifth. They're going to start him down in the order to take pressure off of him, just certainly in the beginning. So I see him batting sixth. He batted sixth, I think it was a couple days ago. That seems like the right spot for him. And are they going to win more games with him in the lineup? Yeah. And so you want him up here as soon as possible. So, you know, I think this is going to make this offense a lot better. And if you look at the schedule, I mean, I would love to see this White Sox team get off to a good start. We had one good start in the last, like, 6 years, and in April. And the schedule is in their favor on paper. They don't have a lot of winning teams they're facing in April. So I'd like to think that you get, you know, I like this lineup with Jimenez obviously in it, and I think they can do some damage early on. And if they get off to a good start, that's just going to change a lot of the perception about what this team could possibly do here. And this season can go in a whole bunch of different directions, and we can talk about that. But I'd love to see them get off to a good start and kind of take it from there.
Joined by Chuck Garfine from NBC Sports Chicago. He's back in Chicago after establishing residency in Arizona the last 2 months or so. So, Chuck, when you look at the development of Yoan Moncada, gets a lot of attention, but maybe has been overlooked or obscured this spring. Looks like he has had a very strong spring at the plate. What has he done well, and what has he adjusted most?
You know, he's done a lot of things well, and I try not to read too much into spring training because all of a sudden the script flips with the regular season, and sometimes these spring training numbers are masked, so to speak. But at the same time, what we're seeing him do, the most impressive thing is he's hitting the ball really well from the right side. And he started doing that at the end of last season. Around September, he made an adjustment with his hands. That helped. And he's become this dangerous switch hitter so far in spring training, throughout all of spring training. There's only two games left, if you want to call it that. They got Arizona Diamondbacks for two games still. So that's been part of it. He spent a lot of time just kind of trusting himself, learning the strike zone, changing his approach with two strikes, changed his approach in a way early in the strike zone. And, you know, if he sees a pitch he likes, just go after it. And there was a lot of, soul searching he needed to do towards the end of the season when he had all those strikeouts piling up, and he needed to make a change. He went to Todd Severson, the hitting coach, went to Renteria, and wanted to find a solution to this. So he spent a lot of time this offseason kind of working on this, on his game, and we're seeing the results. And if this is the Yoan Moncada of 2019, what we're seeing in spring training, not only is he going to be a better player, the team is going to be better, because instead of having 217 strikeouts and not a ton of runs driven in, you're going to see a whole different dynamic with him, and he looks pretty good at third base too. So he's a pivotal person, pivotal player in 2019 for this season, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do.
Chuck, I think this is the time where we also point out the White Sox offseason moves and how they will affect the regular season. So what do you think the biggest move that the White Sox made in the offseason was that's going to make a huge difference in this regular season as far as improvement is concerned?
Yeah, so I'll take it in two ways. The bullpen, that's big. Kelvin Herrera looks to be healthy. I mean, he had a foot surgery in the middle of the year, so you're wondering what are you going to get from him. His velocity might be a tick down, maybe. But, I mean, he's your eighth inning guy, followed by Alex Colomé. I mean, they were throwing anybody and everybody in the back end of this bullpen throughout the season. They had Soria, then they traded him. It was a mess. And the way that bullpen kind of developed over the year, you know, you're going to lose 100 games if you have a bullpen like that. This is a much better bullpen in this season. So I like that. You can talk about that the White Sox brought in Alonso and they brought in Jay just to get Manny Machado, and they're a waste of space on the roster. I will totally disagree with that, but you can have that opinion. But they have value for this team right here, right now. It would have been much better if they had Machado. I get it. But John Jay provides gold glove caliber defense. He was a finalist last year. Their defense, other than Adam Engel, not the greatest in the outfield. And you're going to put Jimenez in left. He's not the greatest outfielder. Not sure what they're going to do with Daniel Palka. He's not the greatest outfielder. He's known for his bat. If you have John Jay solidifying things in the outfield, that is going to help. And he provides leadership that is not necessarily seen by fans. But if you go in the clubhouse and you see how he has, not just in the clubhouse, but how he has communicated with the young guys. He's been in the World Series. He's been in the postseason, I believe, 6 times. That helps. And Alonso is someone who came over from the Indians. He's been a part of a winning team before. I think he's going to provide more power to this team. So I like what they do offensively. Not sure about Irvin Santana and Ivan Nova yet, but they definitely were hoping to have Michael Kopech in this rotation. That's not happening in 2019, but there's a quick question mark for everybody in this starting rotation. That is the question mark I have for the 2019 season, how that's going to play out.
Yeah, Chuck, quickly before we let you go, so 2 things. Number one, who is the 5th starter and how valuable or invaluable was that person to start the season when you don't really need him for a little while? And then the second thing is, I got to go back to the Eloy batting 6th thing or 7th thing. Why would you do that? I mean, he's clearly going to be your most dynamic hitter in your lineup, even though the pressure thing, isn't he past that? I thought because he signed the contract, there's no more pressure. Why wouldn't you bat him 3rd or 4th? Why wouldn't you put him closer to Abreu?
You know, I think they want to have it be as smooth a transition as possible. He means too much to the organization to just throw him in batting 3rd or 4th right off the get-go. And what if he gets into a slump right away? I think they just feel like, let's just easy landing for him. It's not really going to make a big difference in the grand scheme of things if he bats 6th, say, for 3 weeks, 2 weeks, or a month, or 3 days. He might just start mashing from the beginning and then they'll move him up. You can easily just do that. He could go 4 for 4 the first game batting 6th, and be like, you know what? We're good. Let's move him into the 3 or 4 spot. But if you bat him 4th, and he, say, goes 0-15 to start the season because for whatever reason he put pressure on himself because you saw what he did in spring training with the contract hanging over him, it's a risk not even worth taking. You know, just bat him 6th, make it easy for him. What was your first question?
5th starter.
5th starter. It's going to be Irvin Santana. They don't need the 5th starter until the 2nd or 3rd week in April. He's an X factor to me. In 2017, he was an all-star. He had 5 complete games and 3 shutouts. You're not going to see that maybe again ever in baseball. 5 complete games and 3 shutouts for a pitcher. And he had the finger issue last year. If he can be something like 90% of what he was 2 years ago, what a dynamic starter they're going to have in the rotation. But we don't know if he's going to be that yet. But I'm going to be watching what he possibly can do in 2019. Because if he is anything like he was 2 years ago, this is a whole different rotation we're talking about here.
Okay, Chuck, sock drawer prediction, because the prediction you put in your sock drawer and then you leave it alone until the end of the season. How many wins?
Yeah, I hate this question. I mean, I appreciate the question, Layla. I mean, you should ask the question. I don't hate the question. I hate answering the question because baseball is so unpredictable, and I could see this White Sox team doing any number of things, good and bad.
So especially in that division, yeah.
Well, and this division is weak. And you're talking about Lindor starting the season on the, now they're calling it the IL, not the DL.
You're stalling, Chuck. You're stalling.
I bought him some time. It's my fault.
Stalling, Chuck.
No, okay.
Prediction.
Prediction. No, this will change because we're having a prediction podcast on Tuesday. Right now, I'm thinking they'll win 77 games.
All right.
77.
77.
Solid.
That would make them the most.
That's 15 more wins.
Exactly.
Which would make them probably the most improved team in the American League. If they win 15 more games than they did last year, it'd be hard to find a team that would improve any more than that.
And that's what you want at this point in a rebuild.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's very doable because even though, yes, they did go 62-100, that was a season where they're not like, okay, we got to fix all these problems this year and make our team better. It was almost like, let's focus on next year, and in a way, that's going to make this record worse. And that's, I mean, that's why they lost 100 games. So I think they can easily jump up to 77 wins off the top of my head.
Great stuff, Chuck. Welcome back to town.
Good to be back. Layla, see you tomorrow.
I'll believe it when I see it, Chuck.
Chuck Garfine, okay. NBC Sports Chicago, back in town after covering the White Sox for the last 6 weeks of spring training. 77 victories. Let's mark him down for 77 victories for the White Sox. That's his prediction.
Oh, no, that's what I'm going to do. I wrote it down, and you put it in your sock drawer, and you get it out at the end of the season.
You said socks drawer.
Well, that's because
you're
that's
getting
a
on me for being syrupy and punny and all that. Then you go, then you pull out socks drawer.
There's a sign in the office that says Chuck Garfine's socks drawer.
I know. I've been there. All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.